The rulers sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he's the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to Lord Jesus Christ.
Imagine living time as a thief or a rebel or a criminal. Imagine wasting so many days, day after day, as if they weren't valuable, and living as if they were meant to be seized, seize the day. A thief lives as if the days and what fills them weren't a gift, but rather something alien that needed to be grasped. Or to go through life as a rebel, seeing days as empty voids to be filled with our self-will, to be lived on our terms and our timetables. And to live as a criminal, to live as if we weren't sons and daughters of the King, to live as orphans and bastards, to live outside of the wisdom and love of the one who made us, to live as strangers in time, rather than brothers and sisters of a family. And what if at the end of such a miserable existence, as we looked in our agony into the darkness, knowing that we have squandered our past and that we cannot bring it back again? Imagine as we looked into the darkness of the consequences of our sin into death itself. Imagine at that moment to see him. Him right near us in our suffering, crowned not with gold but with thorns, his royal hands raised in blessing with nails on them, sitting not on a throne, but on a tree. And he sees us. He looks right into us. His heart, even before it's pierced by the spear, is open to us. And we see that we are cherished in our misery and our nothingness and our shame. We are beloved, and welling up from inside of us, as from inside the good thief, these words of the Holy Spirit: Jesus, remember me. Remember me in my past. Remember me in my future. Remember me right now when you come into your kingdom. And then we receive the promise from the dying man who is God in our flesh. Today, he tells us, you will be with me. He's God with us. He's Emmanuel. Today, you will be with me in paradise. How can he do that? How does he exercise his kingship, his lordship of the universe? He whom St. Paul declares to be the fullness. In the book of Revelation, the Apocalypse, the unveiling, the risen Lord Jesus proclaims, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. At the Easter Vigil, the church rejoices, all time, all ages belong to him. He gives us our life back again. He redeems and transforms the past. He opens up the future, and he gives it to us now as the beginning of paradise. How do we receive this gift? How do we enter it? How do we allow it to enter us? Two proposals, each one a gift. My friends, the St. Vincent's Christmas book has come early this year. It's Christmas in November. It's the last week of the liturgical year. Time is running out. Next Sunday is going to be the first Sunday of Advent. This is the week of the final judgment, and the final judgment is filled with gifts, not just at the end of the line, but gifts now. Oh my goodness, a year of daily offerings, giving your life to God one day at a time. We can take as many of these as we want. It's the ideal stocking stuffer. And if they disappear, we'll order more so that the people who come on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, so that they can have one too. Why is this book the opening of paradise? Because in the 365 chapters, each one a single page long, just a page, we have a meditation to claim the grace of each day. We can go home tonight and read the meditation for November 23rd. And tomorrow when we get up in the morning, we can have this book by our bedside, at the breakfast table, we could put it in the car, anywhere at the beginning, so that each day is not just an empty void waiting for the craziness of the world to fill it. Our expectation isn't just to tune in to the news. What's the latest tragedy that's happening? No. Before time is an invention of man, it is a creation of God. And for those of us of a certain age who went to Catholic grade school back in the day, we may have learned a morning offering. This book has 365 morning offerings. So we receive the grace of the day, and that prompts us to offer the day to the Lord. Because before anybody takes our life from us, before any circumstance takes our life from us, we give our life away. The Lord of time wants us to be his representatives in time. It's our gift. We are not thieves, rebels, criminals. We are sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, the King. This book also contains each day a phrase for us to carry throughout the day, to make the meditation our own, take it into the world. And at the end of the day, there's a one-sentence review of how we can sum up what we've lived, how we can examine the meaning of our life that day, and also surrender that to God in the night. This book has the potential to transform our lives so that every day we can hear the Lord tell us and give us the power, today you will be with me in paradise. But wait, there's more. I said there were two proposals, two gifts. Gift number two, this is the most amazing calendar in Christendom. I have been dreaming of this calendar my entire priesthood. This is going to be the 25th year of my ordination, my silver jubilee coming up next year, and this is the gift. This is unlike any calendar you've ever held in your hands. Because instead of just being arranged around the days and the weeks and the months, the days, the weeks, and the months are arranged around the following of Christ in the seasons of the liturgical year. So some pages of the calendar will just be 1 week long, Holy Week, the Easter octave. Other pages of the calendar will be longer than a month, the stretches of ordinary time. This is also life transforming. And this is the plan. Remember, last week, this is the last week of the year, we should carry this with us wherever we go this week. When we get up in the morning, we should look at the first few pages. Do not put this calendar up. It's meant to begin only on the first Sunday of Advent. So it can't be put up until next Sunday. But there are some pre-Advent pages that are really important. So the first page, there he is, Christ the King. And the phrase that I've shared with you, but that I repeat from the Kentucky farmer, Wendell Berry, it's easy for me to imagine that the next great division of the world will be between people who wish to live as creatures and people who wish to live as machines. Friends, the watches, the gadgets, all of the mechanisms that calculate time, they are not our masters. They are our servants. We belong to the Lord. He is not only our master, he is our heavenly Father. He gives us the sun and the moon. He gives us the seasons of the church year to know him and to love him and to be free. So the next pre-Advent page, all sorts of ways this calendar can help us. We should read and reread this week. Oh, this page, it is so rich, so delicious and nutritious. It shows how this calendar will teach us how to feast with excellence as Christians, not just secular party blowout and regrets, Christian feasting and Christian fasting, not as dieting, deprivation, despair, but Christian fasting as a revitalization in the simplifying of things for our mission. This calendar is going to teach us how to set aside the time we need for contemplative prayer, to be with God, especially in the oratory of St. Mary Magdalene. It's going to teach us how to organize our use of the sacrament of confession so it's not guilt-driven, lurching from sin to sin, but rather a plan where we're engaged in real conversion and spiritual growth. This calendar is going to be a place where we can identify those dates where the Lord has touched our life in a lasting way. Birthdays and anniversaries of family and friends who've died, wedding anniversaries, every important date, we could add it to the church calendar so that other people can see it, and those points of orientation don't have to be forgotten, but can be anchors for us of meaning. And finally, the calendar can also help us in our long-term planning. So for example, whatever leisure time we have during the year, what are the spiritual fruits that we'd like to gain from those days of travel, perhaps of pilgrimage or retreat? And then the final pre-Advent page, oh my goodness, look at this. All of the principal spiritual exercises of St. Vincent's that we talk about for the whole year, they're all spelled out so that we don't have to have them fly by us so rapidly that we can't even figure them out before we're on to something new. We can literally survey the whole year. How do we want Advent to look like this year to claim the grace of that season? How do we want this Christmas season to look like? How do we want the follow-up to that so that we're not entering into early of the year depression, but we're actually growing in the spiritual life? How do we want Lent to look like, the 40 days? How are we going to celebrate 50 days of Easter? How are we going to live the longest stretches of ordinary time so it's not drift, but going from strength to strength? The more we enter the Lord's time, the more we allow it to enter us, the more free, the more ourselves we will become. And if we can share this with other people so that we can enter this together, I am utterly convinced that we will see at this parish a new Pentecost. And we will be the ambassadors for redeemed time for other people. We just received today at St. Vincent's 12 people into the Catholic Church. We have so many, we can't just receive them at the Easter Vigil. So periodically throughout the year, we're going to keep bringing them in. I solemnly assure you, this calendar will bring people home. In the end, when we go to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when we approach the tree of the cross, the book and the calendar, it's like the cross is a maple tree, and we put ourselves right inside, and the sap of the tree comes out, and we distill it down. It's like maple syrup. Do not attempt to read this calendar all at once. You will die of joy. You may need to wear sunglasses to avoid retinal damage from beholding the glory. Do not attempt to claim all the graces in this book, all 365 at once. No one can see that and live. But day by day, One day at a time, we will hear the Lord give us this gift today. Today, you will be with me in paradise.